You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved. The unofficial fifth line of the Leafs.
You have to prove you're not intimidated. You have to prove that you can win the 50-50 battle. Stay disciplined. Not get to a point where you get triggered and then you do something that gets you suspended. Can you perform and succeed while you're injured? You know, these are all things that prove toughness. Will you protect the house, so to speak? Not with fights, but push for it.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
All right, the Leafs are in Carolina taking on the Hurricanes tonight. Coming off a loss in Boston on Saturday. Zach Hyman serving the first of a two-game suspension. And we debated a lot about the suspension itself and whether or not it was warranted, whether or not it should have happened, but it doesn't really matter now. It's in, and he's not going tonight. And the impact of his absence, this will be interesting. I mean, it's a small sample size, but there's, I think, a lot of conflicting opinions on him and his value and who he is and what he is. You'll find out in the next couple of games, because specifically on Thursday night in Tampa. A Tampa team, they won again last night. They're, what are they, 8 points up on the Maple Leafs now? They don't stop losing.
They just rack up wins, man.
Yeah, they don't stop losing.
Yeah, they go on chunks of wins.
It's scary.
Seven in a row, five in a row, six in a row. They just, it's a machine down there.
Vasilevsky's been out for at least 3 weeks.
And Louis Domingue's in net.
Yeah.
But when you score six goals a game, like, they're just smashing teams. They're not just winning games.
Yeah, you're right.
They're absolutely smashing teams. It's like, hey, Louis, don't worry if you let in three. We'll throw six on the board for you.
Yeah.
Stamkos with the Hattie last night.
Oh, they're so confident right now. It's scary.
Braden Point's such a good player, too.
He could win the MVP.
He is such a good player.
He could win the MVP. He's that good.
Who would be in the driver's seat of the MVP right now?
Nathan MacKinnon, Braden Point.
Don't you think Rantanen would have to be in it?
Rantanen for sure. Mikko Rantanen.
If the Oilers get in, McDavid immediately goes to number one.
Yeah.
Like, regardless of how you feel about whether or not.
There's the four guys right there. Braden Point, MacKinnon, Rantanen, and McDavid.
Yeah, and McDavid's always, he's, for my money, he's the best player in the league. He's in the conversation every year. He has to be.
Like last year. And
last year was ridiculous.
We'll see what happens with the Oilers, because, you know, they've been pretty hot under Hitchcock. They've won a bunch of games. They're in a race. It's not a very good division. But last year we had the conversation with them so far out of it. Should McDavid be included? Should a player on a bad team be up for the MVP? And last year, regardless of what your take was, it didn't happen. He wasn't even nominated.
I know.
Now, the players still made him the Ted Lindsay, but he was not nominated for the Hart. So I think it tells you something, fairly or unfairly, regardless. He probably needs his team to get in for him to be nominated, unless he smashes records.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I hate that theory, because it really is the ultimate team game. It's hard to drag an entire NHL team into the postseason. Taylor Hall did that last year. I mean, Connor's
still... That's why he won, man.
No, I understand. And he had, you know, Nico Hischier was the second best player on that team, and he was like some 50 points behind. But still, Connor's the best player in the league. He was the MVP, in my opinion, last year. So what do you do if Connor... Okay, by that rationale, what if he breaks the single season record for most points by Wayne Gretzky? He has 244 points 1 year. Well, the Oilers don't make the playoffs.
Seriously,
but by that
Dutch?
Rationale, yeah. You're like, oh, can't be the MVP.
I have a feeling if the guy scores 265 points, they're going to make the playoffs.
No, I'm just saying.
I think they'll probably get in, but I hear your point.
That's my whole point. It's like, if the guy has a brilliant year and his team is so bad, and Edmonton was awful last year,
I'm quite comfortable with not making the playoffs. You don't win the MVP.
You are, eh?
Yep.
But what if
one of those things?
If he's the best player on the league. Yeah,
but it comes down to the.
No, you're right. I guess it's the definition.
Well, that's the point.
The definition.
It's an arbitrary.
Is it the most valuable player, or is it the most outstanding player?
It's an arbitrary definition of what it means.
Yeah.
And, like, you look at where the CFL's got it right. It's the most outstanding player.
Yep.
Simply, who was the best player?
100%.
And the NHL, all these teams, because it applies to every league, they could make it easy on themselves if that's how it was labeled and that's how it was defined.
Agreed.
Don't get into leadership, love character, it. Team. Simply, who do you think is the best player? But the problem with that is, it, generally speaking in pro sports, it doesn't leave open a lot of debate, because it's probably going to be the same guy every single year. You know, McDavid for the past probably 3 years, and I would guess more than likely he would win it 8 of the next 10 years. Like, if it's simply who's the best player in the league, would you say that McDavid
8 of 10,
wins it
for sure.
8 of the next 10? And...
But I have no problem
Mike
with
Trout
that.
Would win it every single year in baseball.
Yeah, but
he
LeBron,
would have won the past 7 years.
What has LeBron won? Four MVPs. Who's been the best player in the league?
Right.
Like, he's won four MVPs, I believe.
He's around there.
Yeah.
He's not smashing the MVP
not
record.
Not even close.
But that's exactly the point, right? Mm-hmm. So, Westbrook puts up a big year. Well, it opens the door to something fresh, something new.
Four MVPs, but he could easily have seven.
100%.
Should have 10.
But that's the point. If it was who's the best player in the league, yeah. LeBron should have 10.
Yeah.
You know, he should have 10. And if it, same thing with Mike Trout. The past five, 6 years, it has been indisputable who is the best player in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Trout every single day of the week.
What bugs me about major awards, especially in hockey, is just the name recognition. If Thomas Chabot in Ottawa's last name was Erik Karlsson, it would be a slam dunk that this guy would win the Norris.
Right.
But his name is Thomas Chabot, so everyone's like, oh, you know, he's a younger guy. He doesn't have that name recognition. That's garbage.
Bill Karlsson last year on the Vegas Golden Knights. You made that point all last year.
Yeah, William Karlsson. If his last name was Crosby, he wins the MVP last year. He scores 40-plus goals.
On their an expansion team.
Expansion team. They destroy everybody. They get in the playoffs, and William Karlsson is just this Swedish guy. They got picked up in expansion and did it. It's like, it's a joke. I don't like it, and I it's like all it takes is for a coach to blurt out a name. It's like John Cooper down in Tampa is like, you know what, our guy McDonough, he's in the Norris. He should be winning the Norris this year. I saw some articles. Oh, Ryan McDonough, really? Oh yeah, Ryan McDonough.
I didn't see that.
It's all that. The only reason you're writing that is because it's the name recognition, and the coach blurted it out.
You want to lead the witness,
Leafs Canes in Carolina tonight on TSN 4, pregame at 6:30, puck drop at 7. We head there now. Joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. What's up, Ray?
I am in Carolina. I'm with Super Director Franklin, and he's trying not to get me lost in this building, and because I never hear. And so I think I'm ready to go. You know, excited. Big game.
Well, it is a big game. And we were talking, actually, you know what? We haven't brought up Tom Dundon, the owner of the Canes, was on Leafs Lunch.
Yeah, he wants expanded playoffs. I wonder why, because your team just misses.
But I was actually pretty impressed with the guy. Like, I think, you know, he's been labeled this maverick, this, you know, he wears Lululemons to the Board of Governors and whatever. But he was talking about promoting the Stars, and we were just talking about McDavid. And he's like, I think earlier this year, last year, the Oilers were in town, and he's like, there was nothing, nobody in our city, nobody in our state is talking about the most exciting player in the league. I don't know whose job that is. Maybe it's his job. Maybe it's people in Carolina's job. Maybe it's Bettman and the owner's job collectively, but I think he's got a case.
I live down there, and the grocery stores are called Harris Teeter. If you go into a Harris Teeter and said, Connor McDavid's coming to Carolina, they would be like,
who is that guy?
What the hell are you talking about? So what are you going to do?
Well, that's the debate. That's the question.
Well, I mean, he bought the team here. That's his, you know, that's his marketing department. That has to be the, you know, I'm agreeing. Like, that's got to be his focus, right? Is to get people to notice, get people to understand, get people to, you know, to be involved in the team. The problem is, and O would know it, living here, it's like, this is basketball big. Like, basketball's first, second, third, and fourth, and then I don't know where hockey would be on the list. Like, it is way down the chain. And, you're talking about asking, you know, you go in the grocery store. When I got to Atlanta, you know, in the South, you'd see people driving around with number 99 on their, you know, on the back window of their truck. And I'd be like, man, why do they have Gretzky's number there?
No, Dale
Jeff
Jarrett.
Jeff Burton. And then I go, number three, that was Dale Earnhardt. And there was Jeff Gordon, rather. And so you're either a Jeff Gordon guy or a Dale Earnhardt guy. But nobody was a Thrasher guy, which is why they ended up in Winnipeg.
No, you know what, though, Ray? I have no sympathy. I can understand where he's coming from, that he'd like a little more help from the league. But, dude, it's on you to try and change that marketplace. You bought that. You bought that franchise. You knew going in what you were purchasing. Dude, you can't buy a 65 Chevy and think you're getting a Cadillac. It is what it is.
Well, he bought this team. One of the reasons he bought it, which is why, you know, businessmen with large amounts of money buy things, is because they see growth. They see where they can make more money at it. He didn't buy it because, oh, gee, it would be a swell thing to do. He bought it because he's like, man, they make no revenues there. I got to be able to you know, to punch revenues through on this. And that's why you buy this team, and that's why you do your best to make it exciting and do your best to make it more noteworthy. And he's 30 games in here, and I'm interested to see what, you know, what it all looks like tonight, like what it, you know, what the crowd looks like. And because I, you know, the last time I was here was early last season, so, you know, completely new, different team. But mm-hmm. the one thing that they have done is, and it still is always the thing that is an anchor to teams is, you know, like every dollar matters here, right? And so this year, if you look at the Hurricanes, they lead the league in shots by, you know, hundreds, and they don't score any goals comparatively. And in the offseason, they traded Jeff Skinner for two draft picks and a prospect in Cliff Pugh. Well, that saved $6 million. And then they made the trade with Calgary because they had to trade or they had to sign both Elias Lindholm and Noah Hanifin. Mm-hmm. That was one of the reasons I would suspect those two guys went out. That so if you round it, that's about $10 million in salary. And Dougie Hamilton came back with Michael Ferland, and that saved another $4 million. So in theory, they, you know, they're down 35 goals because it's in Buffalo and it's in Calgary, in Skinner and Hanifin, or Skinner and Lindholm, and they saved about $8 million. So you can't talk about, oh, gee, we don't score enough. Oh, we play hard, we don't finish. You traded two finishers.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like that's what you get.
Yeah, 100%.
Which never, I mean, I don't know the inner workings of it, but it never made sense. A team that could never score, why you were going to trade the guys who actually can on your team. And now they're just in the middle ground. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, I guess they're competitive in the division, but now Pittsburgh's starting to rock again, and they've moved back up. And, you know, Washington's going to be there, and I think Columbus is going to be there. So I'm not expecting Carolina to be a playoff team. But they're not going to be bottom two or three. They're not fighting for Jack Hughes. So on the ice, I'm not expecting big changes in the next year or two in terms of the actual success. I just don't know. I don't see it.
And then so if you're in a market like this, and again, Jeff would know, is like you need somebody they can hang their hat on. Like Sebastian Aho is a fantastic player, but he's not. You know, he's not a Line A Matthews. But McDavid, where do you get those guys? You get them by bottoming out. The problem is, if you bottom out here, is anybody going to be at the games while you're trying to get better? And so they're always in a catch 22 in a spot like this when they're trying to rebuild.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I couldn't care less about Carolina.
All right. Let's
to be
talk
honest
about
with you, can we talk
team?
About the Leafs a well, little bit? Talk about a team that's second overall.
Let's get into the high. We talked yesterday about the suspension, but now the impact of him not being in the lineup. You know, he's a guy, he's somewhat polarizing up here. I don't know why. I mean, he works hard. He's a battler. He chips in. Like, he's a blue-collar guy, and this is kind of a white-collar city. But when it comes to the Leafs, people have always had an appreciation for these type of players. But I think if you feel like he's not an impactful guy, you're going to realize it tonight and certainly on Thursday in Tampa.
Well, much of the discussion has been about whether the Leafs are hard enough or heavy enough or tough enough, and there goes one of your guys that can be like that. Like, every time I played on a line that was really good, I had a guy like Zach Hyman and a guy that could shoot. Like, to me, that was the best of the best. And so you need somebody to get you the puck. You need somebody to grind away. Like, if I played on a line with O, we would like a guy like Zach Hyman to do a lot of our grunt work. And he'd hold the puck, and we'd get into position, and I'd get it, and I'd pass it to O, and hopefully he shoots it in the net. Like, that, Hyman is, I think he's a misunderstood player a little bit. I think everybody would like to have, you know, a line like Boston, where you've got Marchand and Pasternak and Bergeron, but not everybody has that, right? Like, you can't find it. And so you could say, well, why don't they load up one line? Well, which line? How are you going to do it? I think Hyman does a really good job. I like him as a player. He's advanced in goals in both of his years. He will advance it again this year. He's strong. He does a lot of the crap stuff that doesn't get noticed for a team. And I don't know what the analytics people think of him or anything like that. I don't particularly care. Should he be on a top line? Maybe not. But Thomas Holmstrom shouldn't have been either. Mm-hmm. And Pavel Datsyuk and Henrik Zetterberg, they sure liked playing with him.
Yeah, well, and Mitch Marner's the guy you're explaining. Like, you were talking about your own perspective. You want a guy who can shoot, that's Tavares, or a guy who can score, and a guy who can go get the puck, and that's Hyman. So, you know, Marner's coming off a game where he was targeted in Boston. Like, that was a game plan. Get after him, hit him, make him uncomfortable. Carolina's not built the same way, but I would think they're going to try to achieve the same thing. So it's Marner tonight who's probably going to feel the effects of Hyman's, you know, absence. And it's a big opportunity for Connor Brown.
Brian, if you don't have it, if you don't have the puck, you got to get it back. Now, Mitch Marner can't get it back in a one-on-one battle anywhere near the same way that Hyman can do it. Now it's Connor Brown tonight, and we'll see if that works. Because one thing that I think that I've maybe come to this conclusion right now, 30 games in, is that Patrick Marleau is now, he's better off as a third-line player. Like that, so to move him up to Tavares' line or to have him with Matthews, that hasn't worked. And so, I mean, that's one less option. So it's not like they've got six options here. Oh, let's try this guy. Let's try this guy. They're hoping that Brown goes from the right wing to the left. He gets a little bit, a few more minutes because he's going to get more. He's going to be with more offensive players. But he's not been a threat, Brown, really all year, although he did have a breakaway the other night in Boston. Like, offensively, he's not been a threat, but he's got to be the puck hound. He's got to be the guy that goes and gets it, and he's got to hold it and continue the forecheck in the cycle. And if he can do that, then they're going to be okay for a while here for the two games. But if not, you might see more guys cycled through that position.
Ray, your son played for Mike Babcock, and I'm not trying to dig into, like, locker room discussions or rah-rah speeches, but what do you think Mike Babcock's approach is after a couple losses? Is it, you know, a lot of talk in the past is Scotty Bowman, if the team's struggling a little bit, he eases off, and when they're winning, he's harder on the players. What do you think the approach is from the coach after a couple losses?
Well, Landon would say that when Babcock would come into the room, it's really quick. Like, the meetings are fast. He gets to his points in a hurry. The tone of them really doesn't change particularly a great deal. And from everybody that I talk to around here, it seems to be the same thing. He gets in, the assistants run their meetings, the penalty kill and the power play. But when Mike comes in to do the big meeting, you know, he tells you what they got to get accomplished. Won't necessarily, I wouldn't think, talk about what they haven't done. He'll talk about what they need to do and what they have, you know, what their goals are for tonight. And I would think a lot of it would be way more firm on the puck, way more direct when they get to the puck, work harder in the neutral zone, like when they don't have the puck, because Boston went through their middle of the ice like it was Swiss cheese, and then he'll be out. I don't think he's going to stand in there, and from a player's perspective, I'll say thankfully, and give some long speech that nobody wants to hear.
Well, how about that fight in the St. Louis practice the other day? Do you guys see that?
Dude, the best practice fight I've ever seen is Enrico Ciccone and Stu Grimson.
Those are monsters.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a heavyweight tilt, and I got to see it for free, and it was...
Wow.
It was just one of those things. It happened. Ray, do you not agree that the veteran guy that was out of the lineup, it's automatic next day in practice fight because he wanted to show the coach
that
he cared?
Dangerous guy.
Yeah.
I never wanted to... When we had to do a battle drill or something, you'd go, that guy looks like an ornery bugger today. I do not want anything to do with him. And when I saw that, I'm like, oh, yeah, I know it's a big deal today. It probably doesn't happen as much, but, that was
every day.
Yeah, but the guy in accounting, he can't digest it. He can't. He's like, oh, my God.
Well, no kidding. Your colleague, you're throwing bombs.
Well, imagine the guy in accounting just going up to a guy and throwing bombs at him for a bad email.
Bortuzzo was laying a beating on that kid. Like, I think it was Bortuzzo that was on the right side of the bomb.
Sanford.
Yeah, Bortuzzo and Sanford. Yeah, Sanford.
Like, he was throwing.
Maybe Sanford had it coming.
Well, exactly.
Sometimes you deserve to get clipped.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. No, it's a fun. You know what? I just came off of the UFC, Ray, and I couldn't believe how... I thought people were kind of losing their minds over the... They still have the second best record in the NHL. I understand Tavares. I was saying this about how they need a little more bite. The NHL is not as cannibalistic as it used to be. The Leafs are going to be fine. It's a league of talent, and they got a ton. You know, they'll.
Well, the only thing that worries me, though, Dutch, is the talent's great. That's obvious. Will they have enough spine, enough backbone to get through 16 wins in the playoffs? Because really, that's what everybody's thinking about.
And I don't.
It's not whether they. And they don't right now.
Yeah, I don't know if they do. I do believe it's a league where you have to learn how to lose before you can win. And they've gone through that process with Boston. And they went to 7 with them last year. Everybody forgets that, too. It wasn't like they got dusted
in
4.
Me and Ray spoke last night, and it's like you can't bring back Colton Orr and Fraser McLaren.
No, it was just that's the point, though. Everybody's like, well, we got to make a move. Do the Leafs have to make a trade? Do they got to? You know what? They could help their back end? Yes, absolutely. Will this team play harder in the postseason? Absolutely, because it's postseason. And because of the expectation level in Toronto, I think they are going to be immeasurably better this time around in the postseason than they were last year. Mitch Marner is going to be the better for it. Austin Matthews is going to be the better for it. Dude, the postseason, you have to elevate your game. They hadn't experienced
They deserve the opportunity for another shot, but you know what the reaction is going to be if they can't get it done. People are going to look back and say, I knew it because they didn't have this. That's just the reality.
That's the way it works. You know, but there's going to be every team in the league that doesn't win the Stanley Cup is going to do the same thing. And they're going to assess their club and look back and go, well, we were lacking a little bit of this. We were lacking a little bit of that. I just found it odd how trippy people got over a 2-game losing streak, and I get it. It's the way they lost to Boston too, that you know, because of everything that's happened in the past, you know, so you are more sensitive to that. But this team's going to be fine. I mean, I'm looking forward to the postseason.
Well, you got 50 games left, so
yeah, exactly.
Don't hold your breath.
Yeah.
The thing I would say is that they had not played quite so well for a couple of weeks. One of the problems they got is right now, I mean, it's a nice problem to have, is even when they play crappy, they're probably good enough to beat most teams anyway. And they've thrown a lot of wins in the bucket like that. So the fact that it was Boston elevates everybody's anxiety for sure. Because had it been, Chicago when they were good, nobody would have even said anything. They would have gone, yeah, whatever. But right now it's important. I'm not saying they need to add, you know, a bruiser, but it would be nice in a couple of spots in their forwards if they were a little stronger, a little more firm. If they added a defenseman that could move the puck that was a little more firm. And maybe they'll get to that. They've got lots of cap space for this year. I think they're in that mix with the very best teams, and to just say, oh, we'll be fine the way we are, I would be, and I know they are. They're identifying what they can add, how they can improve the team. And when they get to into January, you start to look at really doing it. But man, I wouldn't let this chance go by without giving it a fighter's chance.
Oh, for sure, 100%, Ray. Absolutely, add another piece if you can get a back end guy with a little more sandpaper before the trade deadline. Of course, if you can improve your club, it's the Theo Epstein thing. Talk about it all the time. You're doing yourself a disservice. If you've got an opportunity to win a championship, it's incumbent upon management. It's incumbent upon you to do it.
But Dutch, like you just said, you know, everyone is going to react and look back. That's not true. I mean, there's certain teams who have the highest expectations, and then there are other teams who are going to be happy to get in. Like if Buffalo gets in and they lose in the first round, they're still going to be like, we got in. That's awesome.
You can't sell the farm if you're Buffalo.
No, the Leafs aren't there anymore.
That's not what I'm saying. But there's still, every team's just going to assess what they have. Right, Buffalo, there's different expectation levels. For the Leafs this year, though, it's not just get in.
Of course not.
You know?
Yeah, you got to try to take advantage. You're a really good team. Leafs-Canes tonight on TSN 4. 7 o'clock puck drop, 6:30 pregame. Quiz night? Oh, I'm assuming it must be a quiz night.
Always
a quiz night.
One game a week. I've got one question for O before I go. Mm-hmm. What do you think the press meal is here in Carolina?
It's like a barbecue sandwich, right?
Very solid. Pulled pork again.
Is that same? But apparently, Ray, people rave about the press meal there. Isn't it like good?
It is really good. I've got a patterned shirt on today. I purposely did not pick a white shirt due to the potential for splatter.
Yeah.
Barbecue in the South?
I was never into it.
Really? Pulled pork? That's not your thing?
Hate it.
Wow.
Biscuits, too. I don't know how people
like biscuits.
It's just a dried up like it's not, I don't know, it's not fresh. It's,
oh,
I love it.
I love a biscuit.
My best friend, we used to go golfing every morning, and he'd be like, let's go to Biscuit. There's a place called Biscuitville. He's like, I got to get my biscuit. I'm like, not me. I'll meet you at the course.
All right, Ray. We'll catch you tonight.
Okay, boy. Talk to you tomorrow.
There's Ray for our TSN hockey analyst joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It's the 2019 Toyota Corolla, the safest vehicle on the road. See for yourself during Maple Toyota's Corolla-thon and get rates from 0% MapleToyota.com.
I got to go at 5:45, but before then, as a tribute to the Carolina Hurricanes, I will tell my Stormy the Pig story about how he broke into the National Hockey League.
All right, we got to get to that because we got Steve Phillips coming up from Vegas as well. I don't think I was I don't think I was here when you told that story. I don't believe I've ever heard the Stormy the Pig story.
Come on out, Piggy. Right.
We'll see.
Stormy Daniels?
No.
Stormy the Pig,
the mascot for the Canes.
We'll get to that and Steve Phillips next. All right, Steve Phillips will join us, our Jays analyst. He's in Vegas for the winter meetings. And the big news today out of the Blue Jays camp, they have released Troy Tulowitzki, $38 million. Thanks for coming out. Don't ever show up again. Yeah. There's the door. See you later. And his agent has already, you know, been speaking with the media. And obviously, I think they're pretty happy with the Jays. The guy gets all his money. And he gets to not be a part of a complete rebuild. The team that's going to be terrible.
I applaud the move. People that continuously... You look at the team the Leafs are playing tonight. They signed a goaltender last year, Scott Darling, and it was a mistake. And they kept putting him in the net, and they kept telling everyone that this is not a mistake. When in actuality, they knew it was a mistake. In pro sports, if you don't admit mistakes, you got a big-time problem on your hands. And Lou Lamoriello, when he was here, and this Shannon plan, they recognized mistakes, and they said, no way. We're not doing it anymore, and we're making it go away. And why other teams don't do it is beyond me. It is beyond me.
I think some of it has to do with financial wherewithal. MLSE isn't worried about money. And so you're right, though.
Okay, but Dutch, but if you're an organization that doesn't have enough money, you're just going to say to the fans, yeah, this is actually really good, but just watch it be terrible.
Yeah, that's why they're garbage. That's Carolina. No, seriously. Is it when you can't fundamentally make a mistake, if you're a moderate to lower team, mistakes are going to cost you and haunt you for a long, long time. And you're right. Good for the Leafs. They were able to do it. The $38 million, that's a lot to swallow for the Blue Jays, but I understand your rationale. I get it. I'm stubborn.
Rogers,
that way.
Man, who I'd cares? Have brought him to it's camp. Nothing. It's nothing. I'd be like, go away.
Yeah. The truth is, they were going to pay him $38
million. Who's next, though?
To do nothing on this team. Why would you go
back? Russell
next?
Martin.
Russell
next.
Martin is in big trouble, I would think, here in Toronto. Now, he may want out anyway. I don't think he was ecstatic with the way they treated him in September.
Treated him? What else did he deserve?
Well, for starters...
What is he? Because of his past, he's supposed to be... playing every day.
I'm not, dude, you know how this sport works. You know how the game works. You know, Russell Martin is a guy, he's been in the league for a long time.
Great.
They respect him. He was a big part of the program. And he probably looks at it and goes, okay, now I just sit on the bench in September. He wasn't happy about it. Well, and I'm sure that was a sign that they've moved on from him, which they have to do. It's the same thing with Tulowitzki. They've got to move on from him. They've got to move on from Morales. You know, there's a number of guys that they've got to move on from. This is the first shoe to drop.
Yeah, and that's undeniable. I will say this about Russell, though. At least when they said, hey, will you go play third? Will you go play first? Will you play in the outfield?
He played everywhere.
He did play in the outfield. And he did play everywhere, as opposed to the thing that bothers me is just Troy saying, I'm going to play short. I haven't played for you in 18 months. I have not played a game in 18 months. And that's the and I'm like, you're going to give, and we're going to give you $38 million to go away. And he, because the thing that really bugged me, because I really like Troy a lot, like I said before, having covered him when the Blue Jays went on their playoff run, we had some really interesting conversations. Guy was a professional. But to stand there and go, no, I'm not going to give you some positional flexibility, even though I haven't played for you in 18 months, I only play short. That bothered
me. I think he wanted out. I think he's ecstatic right now. And I can't speak for Russell Martin. I don't know. But I'm not sure he wants to be a part of this. This is a guy who went to the playoffs year after year after year. Wherever he went to, they went to the playoffs. He's not in his prime, and he's getting paid a lot of money for a guy who's more than likely kind of a utility backup catcher, depending on the scenario. But I would think that could be the next move. Let's head to Vegas now. Here's Steve Phillips, our TSN Jays analyst, Steve, what was your element of surprise? How would you rank it? One being the lowest, 10 being the highest, that the Jays decided to pay Tulowitzki $38 million to disappear.
Well, I was pretty surprised that it happened now. But, you know, as more of the information has come out, it makes sense that it was really clear that Tulo's skills had deteriorated, his body had failed him, and that he didn't have much game left. I mean, he had lost all that quick twitch fiber, right? Everything seemed slow at one speed, and he couldn't sort of get any acceleration with any part of his game. So I'm surprised by that. But I think what ended up happening is that once the agent, Paul Cohen, with Ross Atkins yesterday, and he made it clear that Tulowitzki wasn't walking away. That when, remember, he was said at the end of the season, if I'm not starting shortstop, then I might pack my bags and go home. That meant maybe he'd walk away from the money. And the team's looking at it, geez, if he might walk away from the money, I got to call his bluff on that one. And I think once they made it clear, that's just not the case. That was emotion talking. If he's not starting, he's not walking away from $38 million. They decided now is the time to go ahead and pull the trigger on what seemed to be the obvious move.
So did they kind of pick up on a vibe based on your understanding and the way you're reading the situation that, okay, yeah, he's going to show up because he wants the $38 million, which we all knew. I mean, even when he came in and put his stake in the ground in September, he wasn't walking away from $38 million, but was the expectation he was going to be a pain in the ass and that they just want nothing to do with him?
I don't know that it's that he was going to be tough to manage. I think it's that why would you want to give a guy at bats that isn't really going to be part of the future of your organization, right? Like so if you want young guys and you want to make this sort of transition, and he's not walking away from the money, then go ahead and eat the money because at bats have dollar value at the major league level. Right now they don't equal $38 million. But to give young kids at bats, where you're not having to worry about getting Tulowitzki some at bats, not out of because he's frustrated and his behavior's not good, just because you don't want to waste the at bats. They're valuable, and if you're going to use them to develop somebody to figure out if they're going to be your everyday shortstop at the major league level or part of the solution for the long term. And so I think they're holding on hope that he'd walk away. Once that hope went away, then there's no sense wasting at bats on him once the season begins.
Steve, what do you think this means for a guy like Russell Martin? Is he next, or how do they proceed from there? It's a good question.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. Now, the difference is this, is that Russell, you know, this sort of transition happened last year in season with Russell, when Danny Jansen was taking over the catcher's role, and we saw Russell really accepted, and he was a pretty good teammate about it, and he played other positions and sort of accepted the versatility and had the willingness to be versatile as well. So I don't know that it forces anything. I think that the belief that Russell still has other availability, and plus, you know, no catcher today catches 150 games, 140 games anymore, that they're going to want to spell Jansen. And so if Martin's part of that backup role, you're not really wasting at bats because he's protecting, and he could be a real benefit to helping the pitching staff and helping the young kids learn and grow at major league level. Now, that doesn't mean that they won't find the opportunity to maybe eat some of his salary and trade him. I think he's more tradable than Tulowitzki was. He's got 1 year at $20 million that even if they had to eat $14 million and he plays for $6 million for somebody, it's better than nothing. And it's some savings there that maybe they can get some third tier prospect return and clear a spot. So I don't think they're necessarily going to take action with Martin. Plus, I think there's also the recognition of the relationship with Russell Martin with the Blue Jays fans, which is different than that with Troy Tulowitzki. And they're going to be, I think, honor that a bit more than they did with the other veteran, shortstop.
I draw the line there, man. Eating $14 million. I mean, you're getting your ass behind the plate, and you're. I'm not doing that. I'm not eating 14 out of $20 million. I can't do it.
No. I mean, the team would eat $14 million and trade him somewhere where they'll pay $14 million. So if you want him, I'll trade him to you, and I'll give you 14 of the $20 million to take him. He'll still get his money. He'll still get his money, but the Blue Jays would put in $14 million to the other team, so he'd only be a $6 million catcher for them. And
I get it. I get it. Yeah, but it's like, you know what? For that, you're going behind the plate. I want you on my team. I'm not doing that.
Well, I mean,
maybe so.
In terms of him getting the splits, it obviously is a different scenario, and I think the next option in terms of them potentially moving on because he doesn't fit the current mold would naturally be Kendrys Morales. The difference is he plays DH, and maybe they don't want these kids DHing. They'd want him in the field. But if it's about at-bats, like you've suggested, I don't really care where they're playing. I want them to get into the lineup. But the biggest difference is Kendrys Morales was this administration signing. Easy to plant this one on Alex Anthopoulos, that you left us with this grenade of Tulo and you left us with this grenade of Russell Martin. Them buying out or shipping out Kendrys Morales, that's their guy. And, you know, if they're going to be consistent with this philosophy, which I think makes sense, play the kids, you're not going to be very good, be raw, Morales should go too, Steve, in my opinion.
I think you can make an argument around that. I don't mind having some veterans around the kids, part of the environment that you're creating, you're right that you prefer young hitters, not necessarily to DH, but if it's not somebody DHing all the time and you're rotating some young kids in to get them at bats, then there's value in doing that. So I would think that they would do the same thing. They'll eat a significant part of Kendrys Morales' salary if they can find a taker for him. And they might, because it's not as prohibitive as the $38 million that was on the books for Troy Tulowitzki.
Hey, Steve, it's Dutchie here. I hope you're enjoying Vegas, by the way.
Dutchie, I can't. Dutchie, you know, Vegas is wasted on me, Dutchie.
I know. I should be there with you.
I've heard, people have told me that everywhere they go, there's notes on the wall saying Dutchie was here for some reason. No, I don't know what that's about.
Dude, it's true. They're IOUs. Hey, listen, dude. Vegas loves me, and I love Vegas. Are you hearing anything else when it comes to the Blue Jays? Is another shoe going to drop? I mean, it's the winter meetings. You hear crazy stuff. Like, is Noah Syndergaard actually going to go from the Mets to the New York Yankees? What's the craziest thing? Because I would be terrible as an owner. I'd be like, get me another scotch and a reliever. I would just be ordering out. What's this? Have you heard anything really nuts down there this week?
Well, I think the Mets-Yankees sort of three-way trade with the Marlins, right, to get JT Realmuto to the Mets, and they would trade Syndergaard to the Yankees. People in New York are going to go nuts about that because, Mets fans are going to be crazy about it. And the reality is that, Syndergaard is Thor, but to go to the Yankees, he's got to cut his hair.
Right.
Remember, he's got to cut his hair to go to the Yankees.
Priorities.
I mean, that's not going to go over all that well. That one's a little bizarre to me because I don't get it from the Mets' perspective. I mean, I like JT Realmuto, but you're only going to control him for 2 years. You have 3 years of control of Syndergaard. Now, the other thing that it screams at me is that, that Brody Von Wagner, the general manager for the Mets, came from CAA, the agents. They represent CAA, Noah Syndergaard. So why is he so quick to put him in deals? Like, what does he know about his health, his well-being, whatever, that we don't know? And that would be the first thing. If I'm out there thinking, why is this guy so quick to move Syndergaard? And he knows him better than I know him if I'm another team. So that's something to keep an eye on. But I just that one doesn't make sense to me because I don't think the Mets have enough pitching to be able to rob Peter to pay Paul and to think, all right, well, we'll trade a pitcher. We'll get better at catcher and hope to piece together the pitching. They need the pitching. They need Syndergaard and they need a catcher. They'd be far better served to go get a Francisco Cervelli, somebody like that from the Pittsburgh Pirates, a pretty good offensive player, really good defender, tough, aggressive kid who's actually played in New York and been successful before. And heck, I would, if I'm the Mets, if the Blue Jays want to eat $14 million of the $20 million for Martin, I'd take him in and pair him up with somebody in New York too. So. I don't know. I think that's a big one, and obviously we're waiting for the Harper Machado sweepstakes and what's going to happen there. And I think right now, probably to me, I think the Dodgers would be the lead player on Harper, and Machado is probably a Yankee or a Philly when it's all said and done.
That's why there's sports radio, Steve. We get to rip the Mets GM. We don't know what the hell they're doing. Thanks for doing this, buddy.
Yeah,
thanks,
pleasure.
Pal. Thanks. Sorry about Michigan and Ohio State, eh?
Oh, man, I'm still wearing a black armband, guys.
I hear you.
Enjoy it down there. Live like Dutchie in Vegas for us.
Never.
No. Thanks, Steve. There's Steve Phillips, our TSM baseball analyst, live from the winter meetings in Vegas. not living that lifestyle.
Hey, dude,
not his best life in Vegas.
I'll tell you something.
He's outstanding.
Oh, my God. He's so smart. I learned so much from just sitting beside him in the press box for two straight postseasons. Just keep your hole shut.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to the man. He is very
knows
bright.
His stuff. Susan Slusser from the Bay Area. She's a scribe that's down in Vegas. Caught up with Tulowitzki's agent, Paul Cohen. Tweeting out, tells me Tulowitzki would love to play in the Bay Area. He's willing to change positions and would like to play for a winning team. Could be a real possibility for the A's at second base at a mere $600,000.
Oh.
That's the reality.
Yeah.
The Arkells will be in studio. Nick and Max from the Arkells, they're coming up at 6. We're looking forward to that. Bobby Mack live from Victoria. World Juniors right around the corner. A little update on the World Juniors with Bobby Mack. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. Nick and Max from the Arkells coming up. They'll be in studio at 6. Going on a Canadian tour. They're kicking it off in Edmonton. They're going to be in Toronto in mid-February. We're looking forward to that.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, they're a great band. Like, they, I think, are reaching legendary status in this country. Like, they have had some great albums. A couple of their songs recently, like, Knocking on the Door is the go-to rock song in this country right now. You can debate it. I know you've got your other bands, and what is that, Glorious Sons or whatever
like
it is.
Like the Glorious Sons.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, man, in terms of the play, in terms of the mainstream, it
Bread
feels like...
Fleet, I'm into too. But that's great.
But they're an American band.
Absolutely. They're from Michigan. Three cats from Michigan. No, I love Canadian success stories.
See, Greta Van Fleet, I can't say that I've listened to the whole album. They've come out with one album. But he sounds so much like Robert Plant.
Oh, absolutely.
And which is not a bad thing. I mean, if you're going to mimic a guy, and I don't think he's literally trying to steal Zeppelin's sound, but...
Wait, but it's close.
It's like identical.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I've actually read some interviews or heard some interviews from Robert Plant, who kind of goofs on it. He's like, oh, that's an interesting sound. Like, he's basically saying the kid sounds just like me, but...
And he does.
But... They're good. They're very, very good.
But yeah,
but it's kind of it's almost confusing. You're like, this isn't Zeppelin, but it sounds a lot like Zeppelin.
No. Well, my daughter said to me, hey, you want to go to a concert? And I'm like, although we have a lot of similar musical tastes. And I'm like, she goes, you ever hear this band named Greta Van Fleet? And I'm like, no. And then she's like, all right, have a listen. And I'm like, well, that's Robert Plant. And then
it's crazy how much these guys sound
exactly
alike.
And I'm like, that is, and I'm like, absolutely, I will go. I like when you get a guitar solo when somebody starts melting somebody's face. Remember, I liked hair metal. I liked Def Leppard back in the day, 100%.
I don't want to stereotype, but I can picture that Dutch.
Oh, give me the keys to a Camaro,
rocket.
Let's go.
Oh, now was that in Saskatchewan?
I actually had a pickup truck. The first vehicle I ever bought was a Ford F-150 short box. It was black, had racing stripes on the side.
What's the ratio of trucks to cars in the prairies?
Significant. Yeah, I'd probably say 2-1, maybe 3-1.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, listen, we're an urban province, man. You're driving down a gravel road, you got to do it. You know, like
Right.
Dude, you get.
I'm with you, man.
Dude, there's nothing like getting.
I'm not shooting down the prairies.
No, 100%. You know what's
I'm
weird though? When I go back there, like I used to give that truck a licking. I had a cassette. You know, I had it.
Absolutely.
Dude, I got cassette going.
You're big time, man. You've gone Toronto on the prairies.
Dude, I'm this is way before. I'm still out there. Now I go back and drive on gravel. I can't do it.
Yeah,
I got two hands. Gone 9 and 5.
It's a shame.
I'm just like.
It's sickening, really, to see
driving like a raisin
boy.
Yeah.
Nick and Max of the Arkells coming up at 6. Bobby Mack live from the World Juniors out west. We'll get to that as well. Leafs in action tonight. Back into the Tulo scenario as well. He has been handed $38 million to go away.
And now he says he'll play. Yeah, I'll play another position.
Dutchie's in here. I'm Brian Hayes. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.